Everybody, welcome to Everything is Everything podcast. A couple quick notes here at the top. This episode is with Karen Chu of many things, 1UP.com, The 1UP Show, GamePro, Twitch TV, Good Job Brain, tons of things. Our talk, to quote Adventure Time, was mathematical. So the quick updates are, if you were listening to the podcast at carlsrodella.com, there's now a link. The site is actually onawa.tv/everythingiseverything. That's where the podcast will be from here on out. That's its homepage with all the graphics and notes, etc. But there's still a link over at carlsrodella.com, and you can still get to it that way. So onawa.tv/everythingiseverything. Also, we have a new podcast called Side Note, which I do with Adolfo Ferranda of Nerdstalker. That will be at onawa.tv/sidenote. Also, there's a link on the Carl Sordello site for that. So those are the two podcasts. Side Note will be turned into a video show at some point. We're just getting that geared up and ready. And now let's get into this podcast, which is Everything with Karen Chu of currently Twitch.tv and Good Job Brain. And who knows what in the future. Oh, and stay tuned for at the very end, after the music plays, there's a little secret that I put in there based on our conversation. Enjoy. We're doing a podcast. Hi.
Oh, are we live?
Yeah, we're live. This is what's happening. So this is, I finally got you like nailed down because you've been everywhere.
I was just a busy schedule and crazy week.
We've both been busy.
Yes, both of us. So it's not just my fault. It's yours too.
It is definitely my fault. but I'm happy that we're in the same place. Weirdly enough, I was mentioning to a friend that I ran into you in the randomest places. Like, I'm just walking down the street. I feel like, oh, there's Karen Chu. And then we're like, okay, bye. Yeah. Or then, like, when we were at E3, I was like, oh, there she is. What's going on? But then we can't nail down a podcast. Now we did.
Yeah.
Here we are.
It's happening right now.
Right in front of our
faces.
Believe it. I am. Okay, so we're going to talk about you.
Yeah.
Is that okay? Are you comfortable with that?
Sure.
Okay. Past, present, future.
Uh-huh.
Let's go all the way back as far as we can go.
Oh, my God. I feel like I'm in therapy.
I know. I don't have that many notes.
Okay.
You were born Taiwan.
Technically L.A.
Oh, okay. I can explain.
Born in L.A. and then my family moved back to Taiwan when I was a baby.
Oh, okay.
So I am a U.S. citizen. But
okay.
I was only here for like, I don't know.
A couple days.
Baby months. I don't know.
Baby months.
Yep.
They all blur together.
Yeah.
So then you went to Taiwan. How long were you there?
Until I was 18.
Oh, okay. So a lot of time.
Yeah. A lot of time.
A lot of years.
Big time.
Yeah. So what did you do? What was like a memory from Taiwan?
Well, I mean, I was like until 18 years old, so lots of memory. The food. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
The food. Growing up with all the awesome food. You know, just being in a metropolis, going to school, that kind of stuff. You know what? Actually, school. School is a big part of my memory there.
School.
Yeah.
And
they take school pretty serious in
serious
Asia.
Serious school. Yeah. I've heard of that. Was it like something that like you like the friends, you like just the school itself, or like what was so cool about it?
Oh, no, I wouldn't say it was cool. It was really stressful.
Oh.
I mean, like,
you're like, no, this is a terrible memory.
Yeah, it was really stressful. It was high pressure, you know. I think maybe it might be a cultural attitude that like testing and school is your whole life and you must ace everything. So it was pretty high pressure.
Yikes.
Yeah.
And did you play games to get away from the such said pressures or no?
I did. I played, so we got a Famicom, but I think now thinking back on it, it probably was a pirated thing because everything is pirated. In Taiwan. But I think this is like when I was 5 or 6, we had the Famicom. I played it so much that I don't know if it's like a causation, but then my eyes got really bad and I had to wear glasses.
What?
Like when I was like age 6.
Oh my goodness. We can like put this down on record. Video games can cause like bad sight.
Also, I was like sitting like maybe
1 inch from the...
Yeah, 4 inches away from the screen. Be like, ah!
Oh my goodness. What was it? What was a Famicom game that...
Bubble Bobble.
Oh, yeah.
Bubble Bobble.
That was in the arcades. I remember playing that in the arcade. like at a Dunkin' Donuts or something. But yeah, that's fun. So you were in a small place. Where'd you live? An apartment, house?
You know, most people in Taiwan live in apartments, like families and stuff. So yeah, we live in an apartment in kind of the at that time was the boonies of Taipei. It's still in Taipei City, which big city, but we lived in the kind of boonies area where there's a lot of nature, but it's also far away. But now that whole area has become the Silicon Valley of Taipei.
Oh, interesting.
So now it's flip-flop. So when I go back home, I was like, what happened to the water buffaloes?
Where's the woodland area where I used to walk around?
Yeah, it's weird.
Okay, so then you were 18. Then what happened?
Then I came to America for college. Well, this wasn't the first time I came to America. I used to go to summer camp in America.
Oh, my goodness.
But it was geek camp. It was like,
so it was a computer camp.
It was like college class camp.
Oh, okay.
And that was like always in the East Coast. It's like, it's called
closest. CGY. Makes sense.
Yeah. And so I would come to America for a couple summers for summer school, for geek camp. And then when I was 18, that's when I officially kind of moved here to America.
So you got the taste.
I did.
You were like, this is pretty good. I like these nerds.
Yeah, I do. I know. It was eye-opening. It was a culture shock.
Yeah.
You know, going to geek camp, like, that opened my eyes to the nerd culture, the young nerd culture. Lots of people wearing bathrobes, you know.
Crazy.
Because of Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy.
Oh, don't panic.
Yep. And you know, a lot of those references that I learned from geek camp and thought that was normal.
Yeah,
yeah. It was like, oh, everyday American teenager experience turned out.
No, they're like, those are the guys getting beat up. Yeah. So you didn't have much geekdom in Taiwan then? It was more like...
Yeah, really... I mean, you know what? I was really into math. I mean, not like the subculture of geek stuff.
Right, right, right.
You know, no D&D, and, you know, or no... There are some games. I played Tetranet, which was like a modem dial-up multiplayer Tetris battle.
Nice. That sounds exciting.
But not a lot of that what you would call nerd culture now.
Yeah.
You know, Doctor Who or all that stuff. It wasn't there. I mean, the nerdiest thing is I was really into math.
Like, yeah. You're a math nerd.
Yeah.
Which is a pretty big thing.
I have a math tattoo.
Do you really?
Yeah.
Oh, nice. It says, explain for the listeners.
I have a tattoo that says QED, which is a quota error demonstratum, which is a well, you write at the end of a math proof to say that I've proven...
I've done it.
Yeah.
Believe it.
Bam.
Bam. It's not a word bam.
It's the Latin...
It's actually three... B-A-M. It works.
Yeah.
Bam.
Bam.
You could have been a mathlete in Freaks and Geeks. Have you seen that series, by the way?
A couple episodes when I was living in Denmark, but...
Like, rewatch it on Netflix. It's amazing.
Okay.
Let's go back. So, 18, got the taste, coming to America.
Yeah.
Where you went to college at?
Berkeley. UC Berkeley.
Yep.
So that was a major culture shock.
Whoa.
What the heck?
Look at all these hippies.
Naked people on the streets.
Like, body paint.
Yeah. The thing is, because of Geek Camp, I got a pretty good taste of like dorm life and that kind of stuff. And coming from Asia where drinking isn't a big deal, like, you know, I already did the kind of party stuff.
Yeah.
Earlier.
You're like, so guys, I'm done with this.
Yeah, so when it's college, everybody's like, oh my God, I don't have to, you know, I have no parents, I can go drink. Like, I was like, oh, okay.
yeah, guys, calm down.
Yeah.
I've done that in Taiwan. So then you studied?
Architecture.
Okay. And then you did that for a bit. How many years?
I was in school, including summer school, for 4 years, and I graduated.
Good. Good for you, by the way.
Oh, thank you.
It's kind of a big, like, sometimes I don't want to ask that question.
Why?
You're like, well, let's just say I was in school for 3 years.
Oh,
and then just kind of like, it just kind of...
Oh, no, out. I graduated.
Yeah, it's fun.
With honors, dean's list.
Whoa, all right. Okay. She's like, seriously.
I found a loophole.
Oh.
It's not because, I mean, I'm academically, I'm strong.
Uh-huh.
But I'm also very lazy. So I cut corners and I find the most optimal way where I don't have to input as much energy into things. You know, there's an art to procrastination into being very resourceful.
Interesting.
So what I would do is to bump up my GPA, I would take all the intro to language classes of languages I kind of already know.
Oh, snap.
Yeah. So I took, you know, I grew up, I took French, but I took intro to French and pretended I didn't know any French.
You're like speak, I don't know what you're saying. Yeah. Slow down.
So that was my loophole. It's just, I took all those classes and bumped up my GPA.
Listeners at home, you can use that if you want.
Yep.
Karen, she says, go ahead.
Yep.
It'll boost your GPA. So you finished that, you're bright-eyed, wide-eyed, I don't know what they say, and you're like, what do I do for a job? Not McDonald's.
Holy crap, job market sucked.
Yeah.
When I graduated. Sucked. Yeah. S-U-K.
What was the year?
S-U-C-K.
That was 2000.
2004.
Okay.
Did I want to do architecture? It was fun to learn.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think I want to do it.
Yeah.
You know, but at the same time, you know, freshman school. How do you land a job? I don't know. I really had no idea. I would just, email people, look at Craigslist. I don't know.
They don't teach you that in college.
They probably don't. They really
don't. There's no, how you get a job after you're done here.
Yeah.
Don't worry about it. You're skilled.
Networking? I didn't know how to do that. Like, I really had no idea. And so it was just like, okay, I'll just apply online. You know, this is, you know, with Craigslist. There's so many job sites at this time because there was...
Monster.
Yeah, Monster. Yeah, Monster. What about the Monster?
Yeah, yeah, it was big then.
Yahoo Hot Jobs.
Oh, I remember that.
I actually got...
Did you get a hot job?
My gig. Yes, I got a hot job. Thanks to Yahoo Hot Jobs.
We should thank them. They're reformed now. Some other company.
Something else.
Okay, so what was that job? What was your first one?
Well, so I mean, my actual gig. I mean, I've done part-time at an art gallery or whatever. It's just something, right?
Yeah.
But this was for an internship at a media company called Ziff Davis Media.
Well, I know them pretty well.
Yes, a publisher at that time of Electronic Gaming Monthly, 1UP.com, official PlayStation Magazine, Xbox Nation, GMR.
Computer Gaming World. Yeah, all of it.
All of that.
That's a pretty good internship. Did you know before that, though? I feel like there was a time period that you were part of, actually, where the spotlight was really, you know, thrust on 1UP and EGM. Before then, I mean, everybody read it, of course.
Yeah.
But I don't think it had as much presence, you know, and so... When you went in, what was the seal?
So the climate. So my background is when I was in college, I volunteered to do some animation, like frame animation work for like children's computer game. Like,
I looked that up. It's junior doctor and junior vet.
Yeah, yeah.
And, see, I'm what's his name? Lipton.
Yeah, you are with the blue cards.
What was that game though? Was it?
It was just like I think it was coded on Visual Basic. It was just like an adventure game for kids and has storybook characters. I mean, it's really low production, mm-hmm. but like it was something,
yeah.
you know, that I partook in. But so at that time at Ziff Davis, the climate, I mean, in game journalism or game press, is that magazines were still king.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody still read gaming magazines. And there's also, you know, your big players, GameSpot and IGN, but the whole website kind of website game news is kind of on the rise.
Mm-hmm.
And so this is when, and I was there a little bit after they launched 1UP.com, which is a, you know, online game destination and stuff. And so I was basically the production intern for that. And what that means is I had to resize screenshots and box art and upload them to the server.
Exciting.
Yes.
Always the first one is, what do we not want to do? Oh yeah, the first job for interns.
Yeah.
How about that resizing of the image thing? Let's give it to her.
But you know what? I knew every single game that was coming out before everybody else because I had to deal with the assets.
Nice.
So I have like a, you know, at that time I really knew what games were.
It was kind of informing you about what you would be doing.
Yeah.
So then when did you make the jump from intern to full-time and actually be working there?
I think maybe like a year after.
Okay, that's pretty good.
Yeah. A year after I got
just full-time. learned everything they were doing.
Yeah, you know, also waiting for, you know, money for a company to be like, yes, we should hire someone.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, I don't think there was like I was on trial or anything.
Yeah, yeah. So.
But it was weird because at that point, you know, magazines were still king, and even within the office, even though we're all friends and family, the magazines always kind of got priority, and 1UP was treated kind of weirdly. It was kind of like on the side. You know, we were kind of the underdogs. And a lot of people didn't believe that you can have good gaming press online. Because magazine is so, not formal, but like it's so tangible and people really revered it.
Yeah.
And then slowly but surely, magazines started getting closed off, you know.
And, like, wait a minute.
Yeah, wait a minute. This is expensive to make.
Yeah.
You know.
This is paper. Yeah, that's crazy to think, but it makes sense because the time period, yeah, magazines were still king and online was this, oh, let's actually try this.
Yeah.
And also, like you said, there was kind of the stigma to like, well, which is still today even, anyone can write that, right? We're not, they're not setting this thing and the pages together and the design and they're not working at it. It's almost like they're just doing whatever and how come that could be considered, you know, correct editorial coverage, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like that's still around. That thought still floats around the internet. So you're working for the Other Magazine now, which, by the way, was an amazing moment in geekdom and nerddom. Like, I think the geek and the nerd culture is getting represented, and the gaming geek was getting represented.
You know? Yeah, yeah. And I think that the thing that really puts, at that point, one up, you know, what really sets it apart, I wouldn't say, you know, became super successful because of it, but it was just, we offered blog and spaces for gamers to blog or write things that they want and still have an editorial team.
Yeah.
And you can communicate with these people who are writing the reviews, these experts. And then they can come onto your blog post and read something and be like, oh, that's really cool. I'm going to call it out and promote it. And that was really the small sliver, the crevice to what is now the phenomenon of like, oh, I can be famous, I can be an expert, you know, this whole kind of engagement and being known and putting your name out there. You know, before it was like a name in a magazine, so what?
Yep.
You know, I can write a letter, you know, but now it's like that dude is right there and I can say, hey, your review was awesome, or you forgot to say this and this.
Or
and
you're
this.
Terrible
or
and a bunch
you're
of
fat
stuff.
And I hate you. Yeah,
yeah,
exactly.
Yeah.
But now there could be conversations.
Yeah.
And we have bloggers who are just normal gamer kids who would write wonderful things and they found themselves, you know, afterwards having a career in writing or having a career in games.
Yeah.
And because they're very avid users. So anyways, that's
no, that's fine.
The beauty of 1UP and why I thought, you know, it was just we were at the right time.
Yep.
Right moment.
So many things are that right time, right moment. I mean, even something like Nirvana or something just happens. That's the moment when Nirvana is going to break.
That's the window.
That's the moment when 1UP was going to break. And it was cool just watch it. But I think video had a huge part of it. I mean, like seeing the editor, right? The whole thing with EGM was you didn't know who these people were.
Yeah.
Right. And GamePro the same way. These little characters on these little boxes. It was like Sushi X and all this stuff. And so this is the first time you're like, okay, oh, that's that person I've been reading. You know, that's the person I've been listening to on a podcast.
Yeah.
And I think that was just huge. And it really got, you know, a lot of the people in that company just exposure. And also, I think the kind of Me Too-ism started then, which can be good and bad, right? People were like, well, oh, they're just talking about video games on camera, that I can do that, you know? And I think it exploded that market.
Yeah, and I think that's great. I mean, for every one good find, there are probably a bunch of bad ones. But
yeah.
But the fact that people are trying and it made it accessible. I mean, what I would say is one of the biggest kind of milestones, I think what 1UP did, or Ziff Davis did, was being very open to ideas, especially podcasts. This was when, you know, podcast was relatively new. Handful of tech savvy people, you know, would make their own shows or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But not a lot of companies were producing shows. Not a lot of companies that are not already radio or media or broadcast companies.
Yeah.
And it blew up. It blew up. And it seems so like an oxymoron that why would I listen to these people talk about video games, which is a visual media, but this is an audio format.
Yeah.
But it just, I think it was just kind of, it made people feel close to the personalities versus watching it someone on screen.
I think it was a rebirth of radio. You know, essentially
that's
what it was. So sometimes, you know, to this day, people listen to radio mostly online though.
Yeah.
But they, because they want to have that familiar voice talking about subjects that they care about.
Yeah.
You know, and I think that that's, and also people love that kind of, little thing they can call their own, mm-hmm. you know, and there's a lot of, I found this for a chunk of my life, there's a lot of commuters, a lot of people that work, you know, far away from home, and they have a lot of time in the transit, and they want that little thing that makes them feel comfortable and happy about their subject that they mm-hmm. maybe aren't doing in their real job, you know. So I think that, yeah, but it takes smart people to, at that time, to say, yeah, we should focus on this.
Yeah.
And also yeah. some smart people to go, hey, let's put all these guys on camera and make a show out of it.
Yeah.
Tons of great stuff came out of that. Of course, a lot of people have researched
it. I don't know if this is accurate, but I would say 1UP at that point what became the, you know, the impetus for all of the gaming podcasts that are out there.
Yeah, like, I mean, sure.
We were one of the first.
Yeah, the one who kind of said, let's, this is possible. It should be supported. And, you know, and also there's a business around it. I think that's the other thing. But let's talk about how that kind of came wound down. Not too much, but
okay.
A lot of good stuff came out of that. I wanted to just talk about, of course, Cesar Quintero, if no one knows, a good buddy of ours. He went on to do Area 5 with Matt and those guys. Mm-hmm. That thing's a great production house. I love those guys. Dan Shu doing tons of things, including Bitmob for a little while, which was a website with, like you're talking about, where it encouraged the everybody, reader and writer, to get involved, like, you know, 1UP was doing.
Yeah, the Ziff Davis alumni list, like, is fascinating and makes me proud, and it was great. And we all worked together, we worked together so well for that period of time.
Yeah.
And, you know, it was over, but we all moved on to bigger and better things. And when, we always have that memory. Oh, my God.
Yeah, and when it was over, though, you got to see some of the people, you know, you got to see what they were about. And they were, you know, they all had their own opinions and their other ideas, and then now they're able to do them on their own. Mm-hmm. So that wound down in what year for you? Was it?
Oh, God. Maybe it was 2008.
Some of us have blacked it out, and now it was a big to do.
I'm not sure. I left before, you know. I mean, obviously, when we're talking about Ziff Davis and 1UP and the game group, they changed hands, you know, corporate, yep. A while. So they had massive layoffs. I actually left and took a job before all that happened, a couple months before. So I was not part of, you know, that group, but. Mm-hmm. I think everybody had a feeling, you know, once all the magazines got shut down, I was like, okay, well, where is this going?
Yeah, the writing's on the wall.
Yeah.
So where'd you go to from?
I went to go work for a casual game company called Play First.
Totally.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Diner Dash.
That's Diner huge. Dash.
That was huge. And I, again, you know, now looking back, I think that was also a great window while it lasted.
Well, you got to see the game creation.
Yeah, and you know, at that point in time, people did a lot of downloadable games, right? Downloadable, like, casual games, lots of soccer moms, you know, lots of people. And this is before smartphone, this is before
Facebook. Right, they're downloading games. Them to their PC.
Yeah.
And playing them.
Mm-hmm.
Zip file. You know, like, that's funny. Yeah.
So.
And all those games are apps now.
Yeah.
Essentially, yeah.
Yeah.
So you got to see that. And you just did that for a little while?
Yep, a couple years. Great bunch of people. Mm-hmm. Great bunch of people. You know, really. I mean, I'm lucky that for all the places I've been while I was there, loved working with the people.
Yeah, that's good.
And loved the job. And, you know, when I felt like it was time to move on,
no moved regrets. On. And you no moved. Regrets. You moved to?
GamePro. Back to press.
Yeah, they're pretty big. So what was your job there?
I was art director of the whole group.
So that's right. So I went to go talk to them to work with John, because was John Davison there when you started or no?
No, it was afterwards.
It was afterwards, okay.
Yep.
So then I just missed you.
Yeah.
Oh. So you got there, you did design for the magazine. That was during the time period where the magazine got a facelift.
Yes.
And I
liked it. It was the website, it was all of our sales stuff, lots of projects. So it wasn't, it's easy to say, oh yeah, I just worked on the magazine, but it wasn't. I mean,
no, it was a rebranding. It was a big boy. Yeah.
It was a big boy job.
Yeah.
I had people that I had to manage. That was kind of a first. So, yeah.
Did you like that?
I
find some people either love it or they go, well, this isn't for me. I don't want to do this.
You know what? Before this job, I was just like, I don't want to be a manager because I want to, I don't know. It's sometimes I just don't see myself as that role. But, you know, once you're there, you probably, you know, I feel like this is what, I don't have kids, obviously, but when people are like, oh, I'm not ready for a child, but when your child is born and you look at their eyes, you're like, okay, now
yeah,
I feel it.
Yeah.
So I think
there's no way I'm doing this. Okay, I have to do this.
Yes.
Yeah.
So when you have to and your butt is on the line and the product is on the line, you'll make it work.
Yeah.
You'll Tim Gunn it. Right? Is that what he says?
I don't know. I think, I'll have to Wikipedia that.
Okay. All right.
So you are doing the GamePro. It's fun. Tons of work because you're rebranding a whole everything.
Keep in mind, this is the last, I was there for a year and this is the last year of GamePro. Most of us who, a bunch of people were hired around the same time I was hired, and we all kind of knew GamePro was going to die.
Mm.
And I think the company knew as well, but basically it was like, you know what? Let's try our hardest. And what else we got to lose? If they're going to shut us down, they're going to shut us down.
Yeah.
Let's try everything. So revamp voice of the site. You know, write whatever you want. Do design however you want.
Yeah.
Like, who cares now?
Yeah.
So I think it was a self-selected group who were like, okay, I'm in. You know, let's be the underdogs. Let's do it.
Yeah.
And that's what we did. And it was awesome. And it was fun. And it was a lot of work. But at the end of the day, it was like, okay, well, we tried.
That's all you can do, and I think that's what we're kind of meant to sound
huge. It's liberating. Lofty. It was liberating.
I think that's our purpose in life. Not to get too lofty is what I was going to say.
Oh, okay.
Because it is to create something, right? Or to do something, to make a difference, and
at and the end we of the day, did.
And you did.
We did.
I mean, I remember that moment, and I remember that moment fondly. I remember seeing the difference and the different, you know, risks you guys were taking. And beautiful like articles and stuff that came out, and it made an impression, you know.
Yeah, our website ComScore went up. ComScore is the analytics kind of ranking tool. You know,
it's an important thing on the internet.
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
You got to experience EGM and GamePro.
Yeah.
Big magazines.
Yep.
So GamePro's over. Sad as it is, I remember when I started a company, IDG. I went to the graveyard of GamePro downstairs.
Oh yeah.
It was so sad.
Yeah, man, I loot a lot of stuff.
I pillaged a bit.
Yeah.
Yeah. So GamePro's dead. You're going to Twitch?
No, I didn't have anything like that.
You did nothing. You just chilled. Well, you didn't do nothing. You started a podcast. Was that when you did
a good job? I did. Right? I started a hobby. I was like, it's now or never. I lost my job. I have all this time. So what do? I'm going to run. And then I'm going to maybe work on this podcast I have an idea for the longest time, but never did anything.
And you did?
And I did.
And it's called Good Job Brain.
Good Job Brain.
And it uses some of your earlier, maybe, smart skills, let's call them?
Yeah. Yeah. It was an idea I had. I mean, for a couple years at that point, I've been playing pub trivia with a couple of my friends for years. And every week, go to the same bar. And we play pub trivia. And when I was at Play First, just so many great people, and it was so fun. And at lunchtime, this guy, our coworker, always had a lunchbox that his wife packed for him. And every day, she puts a Trivial Pursuit card in his lunchbox. So in the lunch table, when we're all eating lunch together, it became a tradition that he would read the questions from the card and the people on the table would try to answer. And it sounds so easy, but it was amazing how that brought people together.
Mm-hmm.
People from different departments, hey, what are you guys doing? Oh, we're just eating lunch and talking about stuff, doing quiz. And people who I never talked to in the company, like we all, it became a tradition. And it was like, oh God, something is here.
Yeah.
Something is here. Pub trivia is great. And, you know, when we come to pub trivia, you know, we logic out, we talk out why we think this is the answer. Or we would be like, oh, I just read the other day that this weird thing happened, and we kind of share our findings. And then we have this weird lunchtime trivia thing. And I was like, there's something there. I don't know what it is, but it's something.
And pub trivia is loud. There's drinking.
It's competitive.
Yeah, some people are on their phones. I'm not saying that's totally legal. You shouldn't be.
You should not be.
But yeah, so it's a little bit more of a chaotic scenario. And so I think what you did is take it down and make it a podcast.
Yeah, it was. I didn't know what I was doing. I mean, sorry, I shouldn't say that because I didn't know what the goal was, but I knew the pieces. Mm-hmm. And I set out, I was like, okay, I'm going to make a podcast. But it's not like, oh, the next day I woke up, hey, I got a podcast. Like, I mean, maybe this is with my nerdiness or academia. I had to research. I researched everything. How do I do this? I listened to other podcasts. How do I make, you know, my programming good, something mm-hmm. I would listen to? And just really like, how would I get funding? You know, how would I do this? How would
and
I
is that funded this? Now then? Is do you have sponsors and stuff like that for the
I
show?
I started out as a Kickstarter campaign, and this is before Kickstarter got big.
Okay.
And I raised the money, and this is, and even with Kickstarter, it took me a month to plan out, okay, what is the logo going to look like? Because that's going to be important. The logo has to look good and eye-catching because I have to put it on iTunes, and that's how people pick logos is with a good, you know, that's how people pick podcasts because
yeah,
of the logo.
Yeah, pick podcasts because of the logo.
What kind of show? Do I want explicit? Are people going to curse or are people not going to curse? Well, I know if people don't curse, then there's probably more chance to be promoted.
Yeah,
right? Because it's not explicit.
Yeah.
A lot of business decisions there. So long story short, Good Job Brain was a hit and became, or is, you know, I would say pretty successful. Mm-hmm. Well received. Well mm-hmm. received. Definitely.
So, and going back to your meticulous nature, if I can call it that.
Yeah.
Which is good. You were telling me once, I remember a story about how you edited the podcast. And I was like, how long do you record for? And you're like, well, we record for a while, but I really edit that down.
Oh, yeah.
And you were talking about you edit, like, spaces, like, gaps of air.
And you can tell. I mean, I'm getting better at it. Like, believe me, I'm not an audio file or I'm not a technical audio person. Like, we're all learning as we go, even today. You know, we're still fixing how we speak. Mm-hmm. Not a lot of likes and mm-hmm. Trying to, you know, and you knows, I guess, trying to scale those back. And for me, you know, recording technology, what kind of equipment, like, it's a lot. And it is, I research. And I'm not going to say I'm the best because I'm not. I still feel like I'm an amateur and I probably am, but it's improving.
Well, it sounds great.
Oh, thank you.
I'm going to say that to you.
And
just
you
so
can
you
hear,
know.
I mean, I do cut down podcasts and you can hear it all the time, but
but I like that. I mean, I think there's something to, you know, it's like television where, or even movies and stuff where you know, you're just trying to get the best possible product.
Yeah.
You know, and so editing is huge. Editing and video that I've been doing for forever, it makes or breaks the feel of something.
Yes,
you know, like
there's
a pace to it. That's a tangent. We'll skip that.
No, I think that totally makes sense because for our show, which is very fact-based, I mean, there is a lot of conversation and information, lots of information in every episode, and I have to make sure it's tight.
Yep.
I can't have someone, I mean, this is just what I think is the fit for my type of content.
Right.
I'm not saying this is the only way.
It's for your show.
Because there's plenty of other podcasts that are just free talk, rambling, riffing, and that's fine, but this show for me is information. Make sure that flows well.
Case in point, this episode will be edited down to like 8 minutes.
No. Hi, my name is...
Yeah, my name. So, yeah. Bye then. EGM, GamePro, bye, see you. Taiwan. Let's finish with where you're at now. You're doing Twitch TV, right?
Yes.
You're still doing the podcast.
Yes, I am. It's.
But you're doing Twitch.tv.
So I got a job at Twitch a couple months ago, so...
Formerly Justin.tv.
Oh, well,
actually, and currently.
Currently, yeah.
Twitch is just the gaming portal. Is that right to say?
Justin.tv still exists, and that's all types of live streaming.
Yep.
Twitch used to come from just the gaming vertical of Justin.tv, but it became so popular, and it was a very smart move that they spun it out and had its own identity. So...
Explain that then. So Justin.tv still exists.
Yes.
But most of the focus is being placed on Twitch.tv?
No, the story goes is that Justin.tv, you know, launched live streaming animals, whatever, some sports. Some
what was that dude in the beginning, Justin?
Yeah, well, and it was before that, it was yeah. just Justin. But what happened was they noticed, this is the old Twitch fable, they notice that the gaming stuff is so popular. Mm-hmm. People are really tuning in to watch people play video games. Other people play video games live.
Which, by the way, I don't want to get into that. I still can't even believe it.
Yeah, but it's still, yeah, no one really, it's still new.
Watching StarCraft for 4 hours, billions of people.
Yeah.
Don't even get it. Continue.
So it made, they made a very good business decision to be like, well, why not let's spin this out into its own site and actually have a dedicated staff to just support the gaming content.
Yeah, let's focus on that.
Yeah.
I was actually part of that early conversation. Mm-hmm. I was using Justin TV at Mevio to live stream Press Pause and a bunch of shows I was doing.
Yeah.
So I got to meet a lot of those guys there, and they actually, we went and got tacos together, and they were telling me that same thing. I was going to work for them, but at that time, Mevio was kind of more lucrative in the fact that I had the producer position, I could do kind of whatever I wanted over there, and they were like wanting to maybe potentially work together. So I remember getting that and hearing them talk about, yeah, we found out a lot of people like watching people play video games.
Yeah.
I was like, yeah, that's crazy, but okay. So you're there doing what now?
I'm in revenue, in sales.
So you make sure
I'm not a salesperson.
Okay.
I'm a creative in the
creative sales. Ways to make money?
Yeah, sure.
Okay. Okay, you got the job at Twitch. You're doing the podcast. You're also running marathons in cosplay.
Yeah.
Explain that for a minute. Every once in a while I'll see a Facebook page picture and it's you as Chun Li and you've just completed another marathon. Why?
So I started running pretty late in the game. I was never really that super into running growing up, but one day I just decided, I was like, man, this is like the cheapest way of exercising. I don't need to go to a court. I don't need special equipment. I don't need to go to a gym. I can just run on the sidewalk.
Yeah.
And I started getting into it. Guess what? Running sucks. And I hate doing it. I don't like running. I get really distracted and I hate life and I'm counting down. I'm listening to like really bad, angry music. But let me tell you, the feeling of saying, I'm going to run 3 miles today and then finish.
Okay.
That feeling is addictive. Addictive.
It's the completion part.
It's the completion part. And be like, I did it.
Yeah.
That was, you know, now thinking back, oh, that wasn't so hard. But while I'm running, it's just like, oh, I hate this. And it is amazing how you see yourself get better.
Mm-hmm.
You know, people are always like, oh, just keep trying, keep trying, keep practice. Practice does make better. And it's like, and I've experienced it.
Yeah.
And it's amazing. So the feeling of completing something is just so addictive, so thrilling for me that what I started doing is I started doing races and marathons and you know, half marathons. And I really liked racing, but at the same time, it's kind of boring.
Yeah.
It's super boring.
Yeah.
You're just like running and you kind of see the same things. There's a bunch of
some people with some water.
And so what I thought was fun, and this is, so my first half marathon was the Disney Princess half marathon in Orlando. So I don't know if a lot of people know this, but, and this is back in the day, now it's super popular, but Disney in Disneyland in Anaheim and Disney World, Walt Disney World in Orlando, they would host actual races in the park, in and around the park. So you get to run, you know, all the way in the course, like through the park and through parts of the city and through other parks.
Nice visuals.
Yeah. And they have like characters out, they have music and there's a, you know,
Goofy's cheering on.
Yeah, exactly. And it was really quite an experience. And so I was just like, well, how do I make racing more interesting? And since I did a lot of Disney runs then, I was like, you know what? I'm going to dress up. I'm going to be a character because that makes me happy. Because I like making costumes and crafting and engineering stuff. And it makes other people happy because they see this silly person in costume running 13 miles.
Now, were you the only person who did it the first time? Was it just like everybody else, normal runner, and then all of a sudden here comes Princess Peach?
Yeah, a couple years ago it was kind of like, there are some runners who would dress up like as a princess, but they would just wear a tutu. Hmm. Or maybe they have Mickey ears and stuff. Like, I was like, and I think this might be the theme of the whole podcast. It's like, if I want to do something,
yeah,
I go balls to the walls. Like, I'm going to do it.
You're going to do it.
I'm just going to do it.
Yeah.
If I want to get good grades, I'm going to get awesome grades. Whoa, I just
See, it's my podcast. I bring it out on people.
Yeah. I haven't cursed on air
Wow. We can cut it. We can cut it because I can't edit.
I think you should beep it. I think you should be like.
Can I? Okay, I can beep
it. Yeah, or you can make a meow.
You know, like a, do you want a meow or a beep?
I want a meow.
A meow, okay. Yeah. We'll do a meow for you, but what'll be funny is mine won't be beeped.
Yeah, okay.
So it'll be nice. So then you started doing full-on cosplay. You're like, no, I'm going to do this for real. We're going to cosplay this run.
Yeah.
Mother, you know what?
Yeah. Mother Trucker.
Mother Trucker. And now you're doing that, and you do them often then, right? As many as you can?
Yeah, as many as I can.
Because you can't stop. It's the needle to the vein.
It is. And it's so fun to have a hobby and to problem solve. And it's like, okay, we'll have to run 26 miles in this.
Yeah.
How do I streamline this costume? What character am I going to cosplay as? And engineer? Because it's not like, I have to go for accuracy, but I also have to go with what I can run, physically run.
Yeah, what won't fall off of you as you're running.
Exactly.
Have you had that, by the way? A malfunction, a wardrobe malfunction whilst running.
I was so happy because I think it was earlier this year, and this is after the Disney Star Wars buyout, right? So now this has opened a whole new chapter of like costume ideas because now I can do Star Wars.
Yeah.
Technically, that is Disney. And also already in the parks, right? There's Star Tours. And so I dressed up as a X-wing pilot, you know, with the orange jumpsuit and the helmet and stuff. But the orange running tights I bought were too loose. So for the first 5 miles, I had to like hold up my pants.
Oh.
But then after a while, I started getting sweaty, so there was like friction.
Oh, gross! But okay, yeah.
On my butt. So.
I'm glad that worked.
But that was a close one.
That was funny. Okay, so what do you want to do? Like, this is the part of the podcast where we're talking about the future.
Oh, God.
What do you, without going on, like a lot of people have a list, but.
Like a job interview. What do you want to do?
I'm not hiring you. I'm sorry. I have no money to hire anybody. Is there something that you found, you know, in these travels that you're like, maybe later on when I could, like, slow down a little bit and just focus on something that I've found that I love, you know, what would that might be?
I'm doing what I love.
Okay.
I mean, that's the thing I hate. People have 5-year plans. And that's kind of, that's what everybody asks, right? What do you want to be doing? I don't know. The future's not here yet. I'm just worried about what I'm doing now.
You're doing what you're doing.
Yeah. But I would say I have fantasies about what I want to happen in the future.
Then let's call them fantasies. And let's do one fantasy then.
Okay.
What's one carrot shoe fantasy? So,
fantasy / daydream, and I daydream this a lot.
That could mean something.
And this might sound super creepy. I want Sasha.
I'm really afraid of what's going to happen.
Sasha and Malia Obama. I want somehow, and this is my daydream, somehow they've encountered through school to listen to my show, Good Job Brain.
Got it.
Right, and be like, wow, what a fun way to learn stuff, weird things. Like,
that's not too crazy so far.
Yeah.
Okay.
Like beaver butts and stuff like that. Like we talk about lots of weird, informative things.
Right. So they're listening to your podcast now in this daydream.
And then they're listening to it, and then of course their parents come into their room, and be like, oh, what are you guys doing? And they all start having a powwow.
Their
like,
parents, the Obamas.
Yes.
Okay.
Sorry, Michelle and Barack.
Yes, thanks. Yeah.
And they're all the same. They're all kind of talking, you know, be like, they're answering questions. They're playing the quizzes we were writing. They're learning things. Be like, wow, this is really cool. And I don't know. And then they write an email to me, or maybe they're classy. So maybe like a card invitation.
Right, of course.
To my PO
it's
box.
It's the president.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And be like, oh, you know, why don't you come to Washington, D.C.? We want to meet you guys and stuff.
And then you get to go there. Yes. So you want the first family to listen to your podcast.
Yes.
And then invite you to their house.
Yes.
Okay.
The white one.
The White House.
Yes.
Yeah.
But no. I mean, more importantly, I think, I don't know if this comes off in the show, my personality is, I'm very gullible, but I'm also very impressed, easily impressed by everything. Like, I marvel at everything.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, oh, the texture of sponge. What a weird thing. Wow. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm like that. And maybe this is why school was so cool, because I get to learn stuff, even though it was stressful. And the whole goal of this show is to share to the world and other people who are like us on the show, who just think like the world is cool and filled with so many weird, effed up, wonderful, frustrating, sad, amazing things, and to learn about them. And I think there's something there, and to kind of frame it in a way that you are learning, but it's so natural and it's so interesting and it's so conversational that you don't feel bad about it. You don't feel bad about learning. Mm-hmm. I feel like that's a lot of people are like, you know, it's something maybe they don't want to admit, or maybe they think it's dorky or whatever. Like, but.
Well, in this country, I think, you know, the school system is so crazy that.
See, I don't know, because I never grew up.
Yeah, I'll tell you firsthand, it was just really, really frustrating, and not for me, I'll talk from my personal experience, it was not a fun place to be, let alone learn. Mm-hmm. You know, I was very lucky in high school to have a creative writing teacher who taught me, you know, E. E. Cummings, Jack Kerouac, you know, poetry, things like that. But I really love history now. But my history teacher was terrible, and whatever your name was, Mr. Whatever. But, you know, the whole program it was just a bad environment to learn. But like, you're right, it's really exciting to learn. Mm-hmm. And I think kids know that, too, at an early age. They're like, tell me everything. I want to know everything.
Yeah.
But then at some point, what happens?
Even something like, let me tell about my list of Pokemon. This is Pikachu, and this is Squirtle. Like, they're memorizing all of these things, and they're understanding water, fire, you know, all of these really complex dynamics. But it's so fun for them.
Yeah.
And when we grow up, it's...
People, and I think everybody, and kids, again, you know, they learn when they're having a good time. You know, and I think that what I was...
Carmen freaking San Diego.
Yeah. You're going to learn because you're having a great time.
I'm going to memorize every country in South America.
Yep.
And that's because Carmen San Diego is on the loose. Like, that is...
That's because she was on the loose.
That is amazing.
Yeah.
You know it's fake. Like, or even games. Like, I used to play a lot of educational, like, MS-DOS games or whatever. But it's just, it's all about framing, and it's knowing how to make it fun.
Well, Karen, we are almost at our time. You've been the delight.
Oh, thank you.
I
feel like I'm so not interesting.
No, I'm very interested in what happened. I think a lot of people listening too, is that I kind of got to the heart of who you are. That's really interesting. I think that's what these podcasts do. And sometimes you think you know somebody, and you just walk by them, you see them, and then you have to actually sit down for a minute, because we're so damn busy in this city, and talk about, you know, why they are the way they are and where they come from. It's great. So your podcast is on when? It's a podcast, so it's available whenever.
Yeah, that's true. New episodes show up on Tuesdays.
On Tuesdays. It is interesting how people like listen to things when they want to.
Yeah.
It's on iTunes. Good Job Brain. And you have a website too?
Yeah, goodjobbrain.com.
There it is. And you're on the Twitter.
I am on the Twitter.
What's your Twitter name?
Easy
to say.
Momo Pesh.
There you go.
It's MOMOPECHE.
I'll put it in the show notes.
Okay.
All right, Karen, well, it's been a delight.
I also really like animals. I really like animals. I really, really like animals.
Okay, so we just bypassed the whole animal part of your life. Was that a whole lot of stories
there? I just think they're fascinating. Okay. I think they're fascinating. And I find joy in reading about them and behavior. I don't know. You know,
That was just take that with what you want. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, you're fascinating. Thank you for being on the podcast.
No problem. Thank you.
Yay.
Yay.
We did it. I don't have an ending. So it usually is like this, where we go...
You need a theme song. You need an outro.
Well, I have an outro. It'll play anytime we're done talking right now.
Okay.
So at any moment... Like...
Now!
Here it comes. See, now we can keep playing.
It's playing. Happening right now. Born in LA, going to Geek Camp, Yahoo Hot Jobs, Electronic Gaming Monthly, back to Taiwan when I was a baby. Addictive. That was a major culture shock.
Whoa.
What the heck?
Yeah.
If I want to get good grades, I'm gonna get awesome grades. Whoa, I just got it.